Well, good morning, my friends, and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brewer Show. This is Austin Brewer Show right now until my co-host gets here.
Oh, will you stop?
He actually filled in for me on Hagman last night, and you guys check that show out. It was like a two-hour show. I was supposed to be on with Doug, and my son decided when he got his little runny, snotty nose the other day, he was going to start sneezing in my face while I was wrestling with him on the couch. So, yeah, I was a little under the weather last night, so I've been hammering the vitamin C and D3 and zinc, and I'm back at it today. But, yeah, be sure to check out the Hagman Report last night. He was on there. Big show for 2 hours. And make sure you guys are checking out the product of the week, the one and only Magnesium Brain Food. You guys know where to get the best stuff on the market. Magnesium Theanate on sale, over 10% off right now at Team Health Master. So be sure to take advantage of that sale and a lot of other specials we got going on right now. We've been updating some more of the website. You guys have been giving us some great feedback on it. So be sure to check it out. One of the big popular ones we always have here in the morning, the Ultimate Morning Energy Kit. This is a great one. Great way to start your morning. The protein shake and the purple sticks really, really kick everything off. And if you really want to do it, throw some eggs in there. That's always nice. About 4 eggs with this breakfast, but this is really good if you're in a hurry and got to rush and got to go and don't have time for that. This really kicks in, too. One of the first things I was looking at this morning, this is interesting, see if I can pull this back up. It was talking about how the Trump administration on Wednesday is asking the Supreme Court to review the lower court order that just struck down the global tariffs. The divided federal appeals court, U.S. Court of Appeals, on the 29th, said that the president has overstepped the authority when he imposed reciprocal tariffs on imports from U.S. trade partners. On Wednesday evening, the Trump administration filed a petition at the Supreme Court to challenge the ruling, asking the court to review that the president described on Wednesday as one of the most important cases to go before the tribunal. This is interesting. This whole tariff thing's gone all over the place. I think one of the biggest issues from what I've been reading is how quickly it was added into the marketplace. Is it really didn't go through the proper channels, apparently, to get these things added in into the economy. And he just kind of executive ordered, stroked a pen. These are the tariffs. Everybody's going to get them. Granted, we needed a lot of this stuff to be in place, especially with China. However, some of these tariffs have thrown a real some companies just up into upheaval with Europe and stuff like that. So interesting topic to look at, and I'll be watching that. So I was very curious. And also, too, this is something that's somebody finally did a big article on this, an in-depth report. It says, do doctors make money off vaccines? A look at incentive and bonus structure. Studies show that doctors, some of them are making a significant amount of money, while others do not. It said a 2020 paper, researchers found when analyzing 3 years' worth of vaccination claims for 5 Colorado clinics, their reimbursement averaged 125% of the cost, making administering vaccines financially favorable across all the practices. And that's what we've told you guys before, a lot of this stuff, is this turns out into being a very, very lucrative platform. And this one goes into detail here. And that's what I like about this article, if you guys want to look at it in detail, about how the Blue Cross Blue Shield, Aetna Better for Health, Molina Healthcare, Anthem Blue, Blue Shield Medicare, United Healthcare, Meridian, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois, Central California Alliance for Health, all these different insurance companies have enormous bonus incentives. And so you got to think about it. When I talked about Blue Cross Blue Shield, well, that was just one major insurance company that was basically giving incentives to these doctors. Whereas you have all these insurance companies in aggregate, you start adding it up, there's a significant amount of money here for these guys to be financially encouraged to go in and start injecting these kids with all these shots. So something I wanted to address here, because a lot of people have asked me that question, like, oh, that's not real. They don't get incentives. They don't get bonuses on it. Yeah, they do. A lot of them do. And a lot of them make a significant amount of money, especially if they keep all the kids. It says one right here. Says for $149 for each child who receives 24 of the 25 doses by the time they turn 2. Well, you got to think about the $149 bonus for each child. If you start having a practice that has, you know, 400 or 500 kids, 1,000 kids, 2,000 kids, big pediatrician office, you're talking about some serious cash. And that was just from one singular Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois. Another one had Meridian up to 120. When you stack all these together, some of these doctors are making, in aggregate, hundreds of thousands of dollars a year in bonuses. Is exactly what we talked about, Dad, as far as with this money that's rolling in here. And they just, that's why they'll kick you out of the doctor's office if you don't want to get shots for your child. Seen it, okay. Watched it, personally had it happen.
What, you're making me mad.
It's one of those mornings?
No, I'm just, no.
Look at this, though.
No, let me give me this camera, Rich. Okay. I got this perfectly healthy little 18-month-old baby.
Yeah.
But I'm so blankety, 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 blankety greedy that I want my $149 to cause this kid to have autism. Ugh. That just, be honest with me, that just pisses me off. You know what I mean? You know, I don't have enough money yet. I got some new golf clubs I've got to buy. I've got my 4X wives and my 4X Mercedes payments for my ex-wives, and I'm cash flow short. So let me go ahead and give this little boy autism now for that $149. What kind of crap is that? That's my take.
Yeah.
What are you thinking? I'm going to ruin his child's life and ruin his parents' life now because I want my $149. Because I get to do 100 of these this week. So you get to make your $14,000 and you ruin these lives and you don't even think about it. Well, it's just the price has to pay. Well, that's why one in 12.5 boys that has autism. Well, I don't care about that. I didn't mind him at his golf clubs. My response is this. I'm going to say a bad word. What the hell is wrong with you?
That's a fact. Do you think some of these pediatricians really realize how bad these shots are?
Yes, I do. Here's the problem I've got with it right now. Here's the problem, okay? You took a Hippocratic oath. Do no harm.
That is true.
You took an oath. Hopefully you did. Maybe you did not. I don't know what you did. Or are you so greedy because when you were in medical school, you guys were basically all fighting for the slots to get into medical school. Therefore, you have to make sure that you maintain that lifestyle. That lifestyle means everything to you, doesn't it, boy? No, it makes me so mad, Austin, that these guys are like this. And they know darn good and well what's going to happen to these kids. And now they're coming in because the state of Florida just announced it was going to stop all mandatory vaccines.
Yep.
Done. No more. No more MMR shots to get into school. Nothing to stop it all of it.
So, and because I didn't go into detail, you saw that yesterday. Does that mean now you do not have to get a religious exemption anymore?
No.
Nothing.
They're making religious exemptions easier. It's going to take about 8 months to get this all the way pushed through.
Wow.
And now the pediatricians are raising hell.
I saw
because,
that.
Oh, yeah.
They say, we're going to have massive pandemics again of measles and mumps and rubella. And I'm like, really?
You know, I went through the massive pandemics of measles, mumps, and rubella. And I had measles and I had mumps. And I have lifetime immunity to these things. But they're going to make sure, we're going to have people die of measles. What about the 1 in 12 now who have autism? I'd rather have measles than that. I'd rather have mumps than that. You know, what are you doing? Well, I'm going to lose my economic incentive. Okay, well, here we go back to your golf clubs again, aren't we? Doggone lowlife. I mean, what's wrong with you? And I'm sorry, I don't like this. I'm going to say this. I know not all pediatricians are like that. Not all pediatricians force vaccines. Not all pediatricians don't care about the kids. Not, a lot of them really love children. That's why they're pediatricians. And they really talk to the parents, and sometimes they'll stagger the shots. Sometimes they won't even give the shots if the parents are concerned. I got that. But those are rare, rare, rare individuals. And, you know, it's kind of like dentists. I'm going to pick on dentists for a minute. You know, dentists used to be a good profession. But suddenly, you know, I'm going to pull a tooth. It's going to take me about 2 minutes, and that's going to cost you $1,000. And you're like, it's a tooth. You used to pull them for $25. Yeah, it's $1,000 now. So you're sitting there in the chair, and you're like, what do? Do I pull the tooth for the $1,000, or do I just go home with a toothache? And it goes on and on and on. And so every profession has gotten more and more greedy as time's gone on. That's why I say to you, and I say to all of you, listen to this. If you need a doctor, if you need an attorney, if you need a dentist, if you need a podiatrist, if you need anybody, you make sure you look at their reviews.
Yes. That's a fact.
I'm telling you guys, it's important. Because if you don't know who you're dealing with, how do you know they're going to do a good job? If you don't know who you're dealing with, how do you know they haven't done something wrong in the past that's going to really hurt you or hurt your family? You don't know. And so it's so important. You know, Health Masters, we take our own supplements. I take a tablespoon of magnesium brain food every single day. Every day. I've just had another purple stick, which you obviously can tell. And, you know, and so I just.
We can tell.
Oh, we can tell. And so, you know, I mean, I was on with Doug last night for 2 hours, and we're talking about all this stuff. It's like these Zionist Christians. Well, we're going to destroy the world so we can have a second coming and get to heaven. Great. I guess that means the people in Gaza can just die, and all the Christians in Gaza can die, and the children in Gaza can die, and everybody in Gaza can die because you deemed it so. I had one the other day. I was watching him, and he's one of these TV evangelists that I tell you guys never, ever to support. And it was interesting to me. You know, he was jumping up and down, screaming like a doggone pig in glee. He was so happy to basically be telling everybody that, you know, he was going to be doing what he's going to do and how he's going to do it, you know. You know, and so it's just interesting to me. Victor this morning sent me a letter. I think he got me all stoked up. But I'm going to read you this letter he wrote. And it's dead on. And it's going to be one of those things you're going to want to get the transcript. He goes, I want to share this with you on a brief monologue I said on a Twitter in a hardcore MAGA group talk show that I was able to transcribe. I don't want letters on this. This is Victor's opinion. I think he's right. Don't send me letters. Don't want to read it. Block and delete. I don't want to hear it. Unless you say, I agree with you, Ted. And I'm to that point now, all right? The people who voted for Trump were promised justice and arrests. They were told that promises made would be promises kept. And the alternative media people of influence that push the MAGA ideology say, trust the plan. I'm going to add this because we're playing 3,000-dimensional chess. Unfortunately, the opposite is true. Hillary's never been locked up. Obama's never been locked up. Dr. Fauci's never been held accountable or arrested. No mass deportations, just a whole bunch of people getting arrested in the Home Depot parking lot. No promises kept up to this point. What we the people did was no accountability for the mRNA clot shot, updated mRNA vaccines, we're getting them now, total and complete devastation of multiple industries with no compensation thanks to the COVID vaccine and the lockdowns, mass surveillance with 5G, 6G towers everywhere, no justice for the survivors and victims of Jeffrey Epstein trafficking ring. In fact, now we have the DOJ actively working to whitewash and rewrite the entire narrative of what actually happened. Nothing to see here.
Literally nothing. Oh, some people got massages down to the island. There was nothing else going on.
Removing all accountability to Trump and also all of the high-level political leaders and throughout our government and throughout the world, I'll add. It has gone to the point where the survivors of Jeffrey Epstein that recently came forward couldn't openly confirm a name or Trump's involvement out of fear of what would happen to them. Did it have anything to do with the fighter jets flying over the crowd while they were talking?
What's that?
Yeah, let's send some F-16s over the crowd.
It gets your attention real quick.
Yeah, let's come in real low and slow or fast and loud.
I'm surprised they didn't hover an F-35 over them. Just sit there. Gosh.
Was it because Trump had a modeling agency that used underage girls that were from another country? We the people have been lied to and taken advantage of. 90% of our government leadership are beholden to what many call the state of Israel. Yet I call them, as Jesus calls them, the synagogue of Satan. I call them the Sabbatean Kabbalist Luciferian synagogue of Satan, personally. When they say God or Lord, they speak of another God or God, not the God the Father or Jesus Christ. They're speaking about their God, Ein Sof, snake in a tree. Their God is worshipped via a sex death cult, which is exactly right. Rituals that are so grotesque it is sickening to me about what they actually do to their victims. Why do you think Jeffrey Epstein had an altar stone in the bathhouse on his island? That's a good question, isn't it? Does anybody want to talk about that? They weren't just involved in pedophilia. There were 1,000 girls taken down there. Only 100 are running around now to talk about it. Where'd the other ones go? The governments across the world are beholden to this Kabbalist synagogue of Satan. Both mainstream and alternative media, government officials locally and nationally, they own all the major corporations. They control the stock market and all the major real estate developments by BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard. If they want the market to crash, they can crash it. If there's a day shift and a night shift. This is why the ADL can push narratives of burning the Israeli flag is not legal, but burning the American flag is legal. This is why they can push the pressure on the American people in regards to saying the phrase American first is considered anti-Semitism, which, by the way, I've heard that. This is why a college student from Florida was expelled and is now being sued for anti-Israel rhetoric while on campus. This is why we have Minority Report-style cyber-dynamite programs being activated and integrated, such as Project Esther. Oh, yeah, I'm not supposed to talk about this. Pegasus Software, Palantir Complete Overreach, centralizing all agencies as one, tyrannical takeover with the energy sector via the big, beautiful bill, 5G grid with data centers across the country. Our government is held captive by the Luciferian Kabbalah synagogue of Satan. This is why your autocorrect on your phone and computer will not spell pedophile. I have noticed that.
You know, I didn't think about that, but I've tried that multiple times. I made the comment on it. It will not spell it out.
No, it won't.
It won't autocorrect it at all. So did I. No. I noticed. I said to my buddy, that's like stinking pedophile. I was like, I had to look at it. I'm like, why is it not?
I had to look it up and spell it. This is why your autocorrect in your phone and computer will not spell pedophile. This is why children, people that hurt children are protected. We the people need to stand up against these psychopaths and stop trusting Donald Trump to save us. It's time to realize that everything they have been telling us is a lie. They would literally invade Venezuela and then actually release unredacted files that pertain to Epstein and his clientele because it reveals whom they are and leads people down the path to see that they are involved in more than just pedophile activities. Wow. You know, and Victor, you're absolutely right. And the sad part about all this, that got me all stoked up this morning. I got pretty pissed reading that. Excuse my language. Every once in a while, my language deteriorates.
He's valid, man. I can't argue with him on that topic.
And the sad part about it is that, you know, it's one of those things you stop and you look at it and you ask yourself a simple question. You know, why in the world do we allow this to go on in our government? Why in the world are we involved in stuff like this on an ongoing basis as far as supporting dictatorial leaders? And I'm not saying that Trump hasn't done anything good at all, because he has. He really has. But the reality is that where the promises made, promises kept. And Victor's right about that. And the sad part about it is why are we not allowed to talk about this? And I talked about Doug last night on the show. I said, you know, we're talking about stuff that we're not supposed to talk about. We're talking about what took us off YouTube, or, you know, with our 50 million views. We're talking about what happened with all that. Because, this is the problem that you run into whenever you start telling the truth and you dig behind the covers a little bit. You don't have to dig very deep. And this is what I've seen all the time. You know, they have this glossy, beautiful 8x10 full color portrait of what they want you to see. All of a sudden you look behind the curtain and you go, whoa, that's not what the picture shows. This is different. They're killing kids. This is sick. It's like those pedophiles and those weirdos. And those pediatricians who know the lights are going to go out on these children, 1.12 children, they're going to give them autism. Done. And I personally think the state of Florida and DeSantis got ahead of the curve, because I think Kennedy's going to talk about vaccines this month.
Oh, I think
and autism.
Too.
And I think Ron DeSantis knows what's coming down, and he wanted to be ahead of the curve again from a political standpoint, because Ron DeSantis is a smart politician. Yeah. And our Surgeon General is amazing.
RFK Jr. said, but I think the middle of this month, the 15th, they're coming out about all the different interventions that they have now and figuring out what's causing this issue, why autism's exploding.
Two primary factors of autism, vaccines and glyphosate.
Yeah.
Let's see if they go after glyphosate now after this.
We'll see. That has been one topic that he has not touched very heavily as far as these herbicides and pesticides.
Yet. But he knows what they are.
Oh, yeah. He's brought them up before. And he hasn't gone into detail on
much. And again, think about it for a second. We've talked about this in depth before. A plant, when you spray it with glyphosate, can't absorb certain nutrients and minerals.
Right.
It dies. If you ingest a lot of glyphosate, you're going to do the same thing to your body. In my opinion, you're not going to absorb certain nutrients.
Yeah.
How many of these young children who come down with autism are because they're nutrient specifically deficient?
Yeah.
Many of these young kids are very deficient in vitamin A. And you start seeing all this and you're like, what's going on?
Well, and a lot of it has to do with the prenatal health and also, too, what the mom is eating. If you got a mom that's eating a copious amount of glyphosate
and soy,
processed foods and soy.
Soy that's sprayed with
glyphosate. Soybean oil. You got to think about how prevalent is soybean oil in everything now. So all soybean oil is all GMO. It's all every single thing when they look at soybean oil, it's always contaminated with glyphosate. Because there is no non-GMO soybeans that they use for soybean oil. And so what happens, you have a mom that's eating this stuff all day, every day, eating McDonald's, eating Taco Bell, eating all this processed food. The baby's getting exposed to that the entire time in utero.
Well, and then you start injecting vaccines into them. You start injecting, you know, mercury into them with the hepatitis shot. You know, I talked about this in depth last night on Doug's show if you guys want to watch it. And I kind of got off a little bit on some of the other junk that's going on. But I tell you what, it was an interesting show last night. But, you know, Doug's, you know, I'll say one thing about Doug. He doesn't care about it. He'll go into any topic you want. I love that guy.
Oh,
he's a good friend.
Yeah, that's why I love being on the show, too, because
I talked about the dating world last night on Doug's show.
Oh, gosh.
What happened is this
you filled it in for me. I can't say anything.
What happened is I ended up having you know, I put the on for an hour. So I had an hour's worth of material, and the next guest didn't show up. So he kept me for 2 full hours. So we filled it in with dating horror stories. And, you know, and so some of the other stuff we saw. Doug was just laughing.
Dating.
I talked about Butch Dyke lesbians last time on the show. I made a couple funny faces. You guys would like the show. But it's just one of those deals. But when you see stuff that's going on like this, and you realize that these people, these groups are being controlled by these entities on the other side of the veil. I talked about that human sacrifice last night too. When you start to realize who runs the planet, you start to realize that we have to keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus all the days of our life, for he is the answer. And without Jesus, there is no fixing anything. The problem that we have is because we are on autopilot down here, and we have freedom of will. You can call that autopilot. People do whatever they want to do, whenever they want to do it, however they want to do it in most cases, and they don't think there's going to be any ramifications. But let me tell you something, you weirdos that do all the weirdo stuff, you're going to have ramifications. It may not be in this life. This is a little short time you're here. You're going to have to pay for this for eternity. Just thought I'd mention that to you, because, I mean, these people that rape these young children,
oh, gosh.
Jeffrey Epstein, for his 50th birthday, had a set of 10 or 12-year-old girls, twins, brought in from France, yep, down to his island. That's the kind of perversion we're talking about here. And they're flying jets over these people while they're protesting and talking.
Well, no, it's funny you brought that.
That's a show of force,
which,
boy.
Which you brought up earlier. You said how they're literally rewriting the entire Epstein narrative right
that's
in front
Victor
of us.
That's what Victor said, yep.
But you notice how they're doing it really slow. Okay, follow the lines of everything. Epstein gets arrested, convicted, down here in Florida 15 years ago, right?
Nothing happens.
Nothing happens. This softball sentence. Then all of a sudden he gets back out, and suddenly all these charges pop back up again. He disappears after they put him in jail, right? He kills himself.
He's not dead.
Then Maxwell takes the fall for it. She takes the fall. Gets convicted for felony charges for child trafficking. Convicted. In prison. Then suddenly this stuff keeps popping up, and they can't make it go away. So what do they do now? Oh, we've done a full FBI investigation, and we found out
hoax. The Epstein hoax.
Nobody was trafficked to nobody. Nothing existed. Actually, we need to get Maxwell out, too, because she didn't do anything, because nothing ever happened. The entire thing was a giant hoax. Everybody goes, well, that was a bit far-fetched. So what they do is they pull it back. Oh, we're going to have everything released now. We're going to have the judge release everything. We're going to have the victims come forward now.
Victims didn't talk. They haven't mentioned. They haven't given any names yet.
Well, the first,
and if they do give names, no news center will cover it.
No news center is going to cover it. And if they do, what they're doing is just going to cut the feed. They're just going to control the narrative. They're going to control what's released. If they're even talking about this stuff, even if they don't give a script on what they're allowed to
21
cover.
21 ring circus.
Exactly right. So what they're doing is they're slowly moving the entire story into a completely different compartment. Well, there were a few girls that were down there, you know, 16 or 17 that gave massages. You know, that was frowned upon.
Well, they weren't 16 or 17. They were 19 and 20.
Oh, yeah. And then you go, oh, 19, 20.
Well, so that means they're legal.
Right. So what they're doing, they're slowly changing the entire narrative to where eventually, 5 or 10 years, if we don't keep pushing on it, they're going to say, what are you talking about? That never happened. Wikipedia will change it. Media will change it. Online stories will change it. Articles will be deleted. And it will just go away in the memories of the people that actually knew about it. And that's how they do it. It's crazy. We're watching it happen.
We saw it happen in the Warren Report with Kennedy. We saw it happen with 9/11 Commission.
Yep.
Complete and total bogus analysis.
The hardest part about 9/11, we're trying to keep that under wraps, is nobody's still ever been able to explain Building 7.
Nobody talks about it.
Nobody talks about it, but a lot of people don't even know about it.
9/11 Report, I remember, didn't even mention Building 7.
Didn't mention it.
The Solomon Building, you know, 50-story office complex, held the headquarters for the FBI and all the evidence for Enron. Gone.
Gone. Oh,
well, that didn't happen. We'll pretend like it didn't happen because we'll pretend like it didn't. We know no one saw it happen. So, therefore, long-term memory goes, it never happened.
Never happened.
History books never happened.
Yeah. And that's the crazy thing that we're watching right now.
Judy Wood writes the book, Where Did the Towers Go? And upon its release, her doggone assistant was killed in a parking lot.
Yeah.
Girls start talking about what happened with Epstein. Fighters fly over.
Well, all of a sudden, they've already had, what, 6 or 7 victims have already popped up dead.
Oh, they all
random suicides.
Random suicides. And that one girl over there in Australia, she said, I am not going to commit suicide. And all of a sudden, she commits suicide.
Yeah. Yeah.
She said, I am not suicidal. If something happens to me, I have been murdered. And, you know, I mean, unbelievable.
Switching gears on here. Shows get too dark. This is interesting now. Again, yet another story has come out now about how parents are actually starting to get involved with screen time, and that they're fearing that screens are worse off than drugs and obesity. Listen to this now. They're saying the junk food to TikTok, parents' biggest fears have changed significantly. American parents are becoming more and more worried about the content of their children's Instagram feed and also what's in their lunchboxes. Now, this is two-pronged here. One of the reasons why, and I got to say this because this is one thing that I really pushed last year with RFK Jr., he's bringing topics to light that people are now starting to talk about all across the internet that a lot of people did not talk about before because they didn't think about him, they didn't know about him, but he's getting this stuff mainstream. Secondly now, I've talked about this for years. Multiple other people, multiple doctors are talking about this. According to a national poll, the screens their children can't seem to put down are becoming their parents' greatest fear. They said a result from the study here. Look at this now. Top 10 parental concerns. And I'm finally glad this is starting to come to light and people are actually starting to address this here. Top 10 parental concerns. Number one concern now for parents in this poll is social media. Number one. That's finally now people are starting to address what I've been talking about for years. The second one, excessive screen and device use. Look at that. I mean, there's two ones now parents are concerned about. Third one, internet safety. Absolutely. Fourth one, unhealthy diet. Okay. We're actually starting to make a difference, make a change in the stuff on what parents are starting to look at. And
you know, it's sad.
No, it's sad. It took this far.
It took me 40 years. I can't even believe this. I'm happy about it.
The kids killing themselves listening to ChatGPT, which is happening now multiple times.
Well, how to have a beautiful suicide.
Yeah. That's happening now. And parents are finally going, maybe I do need to be watching what my children are looking at social media. My 8-year-old has a TikTok and an Instagram. Just maybe they don't need to be exposed to this super, super high flicker rate screen scrolling all day long. Whoa, that's a concept. Imagine that, everybody. So I'm glad this is going on now. The biggest thing, like I said, is putting time limits on this stuff, keeping your kids off social media as long as possible. And as far as electronic pads and all that, use them at your discretion. Make sure they have filters on them and make sure they do not have access to them. Because now, at this point, you don't have the ability to come out and say, well, I'm just ignorant on the topic. I don't know anything about it. I don't know what my kids are doing. It's not my problem. They're just going to figure it out on their own. That's not an excuse anymore. That's just being straight lazy. And if you're straight lazy as a parent, then why are you even a parent? Because being a parent's not easy. It's not. There's always something going on. There's always some crisis. There's always some issues. There's always something to do.
Never ends.
And that's okay. So you sign up for it. It's kind of fun. You can find enjoyment in the chaos eventually. But again, you can't sit there and say, well, I'm just going to let them do whatever they want. And now I have no idea why all these problems are happening. All these issues are occurring. Now you know what's going on. An unhealthy diet, the fact that that's number 4 on here, that's a big deal because quite frankly, for the longest time, most parents didn't give a crap about what was going on with food. They didn't care. That's RFK Jr. pushing that up now.
Well, you know, it's funny. You know, I've spoken and you've spoken to millions of people.
Yeah.
And, you know, we make a little dent here and there. But, you know, when the Department of HHS comes in and says, hey, we got a problem with kids, you know, all of a sudden people start listening. And, you know, the sad part about it is that the doctors and the people have known this for years. But the doctors are so busy most of the time in their clinics, they have 2 or 3 minutes per patient.
Yeah.
They run in, run out, run in, run out, run in, run out. And, you know, and so they can't really sit there. And plus, the doctor doesn't take a class of nutrition anyhow, so they don't know how to fix it.
No.
And this is one other thing Victor said. It was good. He goes, majority of people are for the move of what Trump is doing in D.C. with the National Guard and planning to do this in other cities as well. What I've been exhaustively telling people is that this is being done to get people used to a military action and or the presence of civilians on civilian soil and throughout our cities.
He is right. This desensitizing the population to seeing troops in multicam.
It's to get people used to the coming tyranny. Furthermore, this is being done to keep everyone's attention off the Epstein files.
Now, that's a fact. However, I mean, send a National Guard into Chirac. They need to clean up Chicago.
Again, we're already saying, okay.
Yeah.
There will be reactions from the National Guard in D.C. that have a viewpoint of civil unrest. The people everywhere at their boiling point, and the pressure release valve technique isn't working anymore. Keep down inside, everyone knows that our political officials, judges, and people of influence and key positions are involved in the sex death cult, even Trump. They just don't want to admit it because of their associations with Epstein. You know, he is right about that. And the sad part about this is that, you know, when you sit and you look at it, you kind of go, wow. You know, but you know, they're so good at it, Austin. You know, The thing about it is the entities that run the planet, they've been doing this for about 6,000 years.
Correct. This isn't their first rodeo.
No, we're not talking 60 years. We're not talking 6 years. We're talking 6,000 years. This is the same group that got released again when the Garden of Eden got made. Okay, the same group. And the same group that were the ancient Canaanite religions and sacrifice of human beings for fertility rituals. It's the same group. I mean, it goes back that far. So these entities apparently have a really long lifespan, and they really have a lot of experience they use over and over again. That's why there seems to be nothing new in the news cycles. It always just recycles, recycles, recycles. And the same things they do continue to happen over and over and over again because they find a technique that works as far as programming humans.
It's a gameplay, man. It's like college ball. If you find a play that works, you don't drop it. You restructure if you need to. You rename it. You use the same plays that work.
Well, you know, it's interesting, you know, because I'm in my, 30s now.
Yeah.
Austin and I are both in our 30s.
Yeah. I don't know how that worked, but I'm proud of it.
And being facetious, obviously. And the crazy part about it is that when you stop and you look at it, you kind of go, okay, I've learned a lot now since I was a teenager.
Yeah.
The other day I was telling Van, I said, I can't do this, but this is fun to speculate sometimes. I said, I would like to be my 8-year-old self again.
8-year-old self?
With the full knowledge that I have now.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, I'd be dangerous.
Oh, boy. Woo, doggy. Deadfalls everywhere.
Oh, no, it wouldn't be deadfalls. it'd be like, all right, that's a pedophile.
Yeah.
I know what that is. I'm calling 911.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. We didn't have 911. I just got, that old Fred guy, I'd have had him turned in immediately.
Oh, yeah.
And, and old Dottie, I'd say, I know you're a butch dyke, and I know you can whip me because I'm 8, but...
What?
You need to think about your eternal mortal soul. What are you going to do with all that? You're messed up.
Gosh, the 8-year-old.
Oh, I'd be like Stewie.
Yes.
Little Stewie running around. And then when I got out of college, I would have started on radio immediately.
Yeah.
Instead of waiting 7 years. I'd have done that too. I probably would have actually gotten on radio as a college student. I put together the Eat, Drink, and Be Healthy program. We'd had it on. Back then, what would it have been? We had put it on Reel to Reel. and then we had the 8-track. And then we had the cassette tapes. So we had the cassettes pretty early.
We've got some cassettes at the office we've kept for posterity.
Oh, gosh. I can't even. Well, they got all the recordings on them that are masters.
Well, they're great, though. This guy, you're going to look back at 50 years. And my grandkids are going to, what are these?
Well, the problem is it's cellulose and it doesn't last. It starts to deteriorate. And so what ends up happening is you look back on your life and you go, man, if I'd only known this or only known that. Of course, that's idle speculation. That's like Jim Rohn always says. He goes, you call somebody a liar. He goes, that's idle conversation. They already know they're a liar.
They're lying.
They
know they're lying when they lie.
it's like Solzhenitsyn says.
Yeah.
We know they're lying. They know they're lying. Everybody knows they're lying, but they don't care. They still lie. It's just
funny. Going back to what you said, though, as far as bringing the knowledge up, and I think that's what we try to do on this show. Actually, I know it's what we do on this show. We try to bring this stuff to light and really give everybody a lot of this information that we've aggregated for decades now.
No, yeah.
I mean, because the thing is, if you can take some of this stuff, especially at an early age, and make it applicable as far as with your diet, with your health, with your finances, and really expand it, you're way ahead of the curve. Way ahead of the curve. Because you already kind of know what's going to happen before it happens, at least for a little bit. And that's why I tell everybody, I mean, you already see what's going on now with the knowledge with this food and the preservatives and the ultra-processed foods. And we've been talking about this for decades now, and it's finally – I mean, we finally got Red 40 out of the food supply, dude.
40.
I mean, I saw how bad that was when I was a kid. I was highly reactive to that stuff, highly reactive to it. Even as a kid, every time I did, I'd get sick as a dog when I get Red 40 and something.
I remember that time you went to that wedding thing we went to, and you drank some red punch. And we told you not to do it.
Oh, it was bright, bright red punch.
You snuck around the corner and got some.
I guzzled it.
And I remember you ended up with a black speck in your iris within 4 days.
Coughing. Mm-hmm. I'm like, a big old cup of it. I'm like, I'm going to give me some punch. I drink. I'm like, oh, that's good. Give me another big cup. And I'm drinking it. They catch me around the corner. What are you doing, Austin? I'm like, oh, come on, red punch.
Poured it out too late.
Yeah, then all of a sudden the next day I was sick as a dog.
Speaking about red punch, no place in children's hands under 16 in England to be banned from buying energy drinks. Isn't that something?
That's interesting.
Governments have banned sale of energy drinks from more than 150 milligrams of caffeine, citing concerns over obesity and lack of concentration.
I can't argue with that much.
I mean, under 16s in England will be banned from buying energy drinks such as Red Bull and Monster because they fuel obesity, cause sleep problems and leave them unable to concentrate.
Yeah.
Health experts, teaching unions, and dentists welcomed the ban and said it would boost children's young people's health if it fulfills a pledge by labor that included in its manifesto for last year's general election. How can we expect children to do well in school if they have the equivalent of a double espresso in their system on a daily basis? Energy drinks might seem harmless, but the sleep, concentration, and well-being of today's kids are all being impacted, while high sugar versions damage their teeth and contribute to obesity. Now, I'm going to stop for 1 second here, and I'm going to say something. I disagree with this ruling. And now you're looking at me going, what do you mean you disagree with it? Nope. Because they can still go to the coffee shop and buy coffee.
Well, the big argument with that is the problems with a lot of these energy drinks, which I've researched significantly because I use them in college some. Is they're loaded with an insane amount of caffeine. Some of those monsters have 350 milligrams.
I still disagree with it.
With like 40 or 50 grams of sugar.
I still disagree with it.
Yeah.
Okay? This has no place in legislation. It's the parents' duty to
now
tell
that is
kids
true.
That. Now, listen to me, okay? When I was a little kid, my mom used to give me coffee to drink. I told you this. And it actually calmed me down because, you know, the developing brain with stimulus calms you down. I was about 7, 8 years old. And I'm sucking down coffee every morning on the way to school. It calmed me down. You think, well, it should have made you hyper. It does not do that with young children. Now, when you're 16 and 17, you're not a young kid anymore. The problem with it is this. If you try to legislate this kind of stuff, it's going to make that kid want that caffeine more.
That's true.
And what they're going to do, because remember, Starbucks over there, that's not illegal.
That's true. So you can just go to Starbucks.
Starbucks basically tells you if you're a Christian, don't come in, right?
If you're a gun owner.
If you're a gun owner here in the United States. And so the problem with all of this stuff is this is not the place for the state to do this. It's the place for the parents to do this and to teach the kids correctly. Because what are they going to do? Because there are coffee shops all over England. It's dreary as all get out over this. It rains all the time.
There are a lot of coffee shops over there.
There are a lot of coffee shops in England. So, okay, I'm going to get a double shot of espresso. That's not illegal. They mentioned that here.
Yeah.
It's like taking a double shot of espresso. Well, now they can push all these kids to get a double shot of espresso.
Well, and my question about it is, too, if they're going in to legislate and restrict energy drinks, why aren't they restricting soda, too?
Why aren't they restricting all the Muslims running around cutting people with butcher knives?
Well, why aren't they restricting the Muslims from shutting down traffic at noon when they get on their knees and pray and shut down the entire roadway traffic, I've personally seen.
You know, and I've heard people say before, you can't legislate morality.
That's a fact.
You can't tell people.
They try to do a prohibition.
That's right. You tell them you can't drink, we're going to get drinks.
Everybody had a still.
So this doesn't go back to the state again. Again, the state wants to be the nanny state. We're going to make it illegal. Well, here's the problem. You can't stop the sale of coffee.
No, you have upheaval.
it's the parents' responsibility again. Now, let me say something to you. 16-year-olds are stupid most of the time.
No.
14-year-olds are stupid. It starts about 14 to about 25, and you got to deal with it. Sometimes you kind of wish you could just lock them away somewhere for about 10 years. I shouldn't have said that, should I?
That sounds real healthy for development.
That was terrible, wasn't it? But it's true. But you kind of wish that you wouldn't do it, okay? You know, and so what ends up happening is they can start coming out of the stupidity phase around 25.
Yeah.
And they start thinking. Sometimes it takes them up to 30. You know, and the problem is it's not they don't make mistakes. They make the same mistakes over and over and over. And you're like, oh, God, you're doing it again. And you're like, whatever. Everybody's got to learn. Sometimes you have to learn through the school of hard knocks.
That's a fact.
Sometimes you can learn by reading. Sometimes you can learn because your parents told you not to do it. Mama told me not to come.
That's true.
I've seen things I should never have seen and done. Mama told me not to come. Well, sometimes you listen to mama. Sometimes you don't listen to mama. Sometimes you listen to daddy. Sometimes you don't listen to daddy. And every once in a while, as a parent, you got to get really, really internally involved and do things and force things that you don't want to do. I'm letting you know that. It happens all the time. And if you're a good parent, you're enforcing the really important stuff, and you're not micromanaging the little stuff. Because it was interesting. Mom never really spanked me. She had that German, whatever, laissez-faire attitude about raising kids. I don't know if she just didn't care enough, or basically she didn't want to be involved enough, or she was too busy trying to earn a living. I don't know what it was. But the only time I ever got spanked is I got a D.
Yeah.
Got a D. I got a D in school. I got spanked. Now, they didn't bother to tell everybody. They put me a year ahead. So instead of going to first grade, I went into second grade. They didn't bother to tell me that there were developmental processes in the brain of a young man that didn't allow him to do math as well as he needed to, you know, until he got more developed.
Yeah.
Okay. So they, because of my IQ, it was so high, they said, well, you know, we're going to put him in a year ahead. They don't bother to tell you that you're a year shorter than everybody else.
Yeah.
Don't ever do that to a young man, by the way. It's bad enough when you do it to a girl, but don't do it to a guy. And so what ends up happening is, you know, you basically get, you kind of give the kids to the school system.
That's exactly what happens now.
And then she called. The school up, and we had a professor, or a principal. I think his name was Miller. And she goes, "You can beat him whenever you want." And you think you're joking? No, he had this big old redwood paddle. And he said, "It's going to hurt me more. It's going to hurt you to spank you." And I said, "I don't think so, bud. It's going to hurt. Bend you over." And the main reason I got spanked, it wasn't because of grades, because I like to talk. I did.
Joke's on them on that one.
You blithering idiots who spanked me for talking. You're all dead now. You're all dead. And the crazy part about it is I wasn't doing anything wrong. I was bored in your classroom.
Well, the one thing that we have addressed, and I've looked at significantly, and I've talked to a lot of the teachers and people involved with the homeschool co-op, is that boys and girls learn completely differently. Oh, yeah. And the problems that you've done in the public school system now is you've taken this concept of sit in a chair all day, follow orders, do as you're told, 8 hours a day. Most people don't realize the entire United States school system platform is designed to train people to be good little slaves the rest of their life. Think about that for a second. Follow orders, don't speak until spoken to, sit in your chair, you get your 30-minute break for lunch, you go back to school, you do what you're told, you don't ask questions, you follow orders every single day, in and out, in and out, in and out. And they say, "Oh, well, you're 18, now you can go get a job. Or now you can go to college, now you can take on more debt." Because you'll pay that debt off as soon as you get out of college. You'll be making a lot of money as soon as you get out of college.
No,
that's a lie. Especially unless you go get something like you go be an attorney. Problem is,
they don't make money.
They don't make money. First couple of years of attorney's life are miserable. Rough. And so they tell you this lie growing up that you have to do this, you have to learn a certain way. You learn about 60 to 70% of stuff you learn in school is complete and totally useless. Useless. Isn't it ironic in school, even in high school, they don't have one single class to teach you even about taxes? No one. Yet, you're going to be paying taxes to the all-powerful state the rest of your life, yet they don't teach you one thing about it.
You know, it's so funny. I'm taking my flight classes, right?
Yeah.
And there's so much crap in there.
Padding fluff.
And I'm talking to Galen. He's one of my instructors. And I said, "What the heck am I learning about what a hot air balloon is supposed to do?" I'm not going to pilot a hot air balloon. And I'm like, "Why do I have to know this stuff?" He says, "You don't. But you got to pass the test. You can forget 90% of what they're going to teach you. You got to know." And he says, "You got to remember one thing: fly the plane. All the rest of the stuff doesn't matter. Most of it, about 10% matters." And he says, "And once you learn it and get tested on it, you can just forget it and be done with it." He didn't bother to tell me that the test that I was going to get from the FFA flight examiner was an oral final. That was nice.
Yeah, that's fun.
But I passed it, got an A on it. But the crazy part about it is that, you know, you don't realize that a lot of the stuff that you learn is just absolute garbage. It really is.
Well, and that's why I encourage, especially with the young boys a lot, is allow them to learn on certain things. Obviously, certain stuff they got to understand and know and pass in school. But let them learn and do hands-on.
Got a story.
Let's hear it.
We had these cottages. They were, like, awful. They were horrible cottages. They were old, built about, you know, 80 years earlier. They were wood. Half of them were falling apart. And I remember they had these skeleton key locks.
Yeah.
Right? And so one day I go over to the bar. I like to hang out in the German beer tavern, talk to my German beer tavern drunks.
play pool, billiards,
dig deadfalls. And I remember I was basically looking at in my mom's drawer, and she had all these skeleton key locks.
Yeah.
And then she had to go open up one of the cottages, and she had taken basically a padlock and put it on the door with a hasp.
Yeah.
And I said, "Well, why are you using padlocks?" She goes, "Because none of the skeleton key locks work." She had shown me a big ring of keys. I said, "Well, I can fix that. I'm 8 years old."
Yeah.
And she goes, "Okay, sure, little kid, or whatever." So I go down to the lake. I open up one of the cottages, and I completely disassemble the locks of structure. And it had been painted over. You know, that's why it didn't work. It had paint all over it.
Oh, yeah, clean it out.
So I cleaned it all out, do all the stuff, lube it up, look it up, figure out how it all works, put it all back together. All the keys worked. So I'm fixing all the skeleton key locks. And I said, "Okay, all these skeleton keys locks, they work all now." That's what little boys are supposed to do.
There you go.
They're supposed to be hands-on.
Hands-on.
"Sit down and shut up, Johnny."
Yeah.
I don't want to sit down and shut up. I want to go play outside. "Oh, you gotta sit down and shut up, boy. I'm going to spank you."
Why do I have to learn about cathedrals when I'm 7 years old and learn about Gothic architectural structures right now? I'm nine.
I really
I'm
don't
10.
Care.
That's what I'm nine. I'm 10. I want to be outside. I want to learn how to change locks, swap out wheel bearings on bicycles.
You remember?
Chain chains on dirt bikes.
Remember, you were 15. You took that class. What was that class at Polk State? It was that one.
Humanities.
Humanities. And the professor was as queer as a $3 bill.
Yeah, he was.
Remember that guy?
Yeah.
And I remember I went out because I had to drive over there with you. He's actually a pretty good professor, though. I got to give him.
Yeah, he was. He was chill.
He was actually funny. He's pretty good. And so one day I'm in class and he goes, "Who are you?"
Yeah, you sitting in the back of class.
And I said, I'm Ted Brewer. I'm his dad. He goes, "Oh, you got a great voice."
He said that.
He goes, "You want to be one of our plays?" I said, "I'm going to pass. I'm good."
Well, that was kind of our first experiment with dual enrollment. Remember? So we wanted to see if I passed the entry exam. And we're like, let's take just whatever class. Let's try it out.
You and McKenzie were there together.
Let's try it out. Yeah. Let's see what we're doing. We had no idea what to do with dual enrollment. It was just a big experiment for all of us. So we went over there, took the class, got an A in it. We learned about all that stuff.
No, so it was fun. But they said that I remember, and I said to myself, "Well, I'm a professional speaker." And he goes, "Well, I can tell."
Yeah.
I'm like, "Oh, God, watch out for this guy."
Oh, yeah.
Sneaking around the corner trying to talk to me. It was funny. But it was funny, though. I got a kick out of it. I forgot his name, but I think they cut him loose, though.
They may have. And that goes back to exactly what I've tried to explain to a lot of kids. This is why I'm so adamant about training, especially young boys and young girls, on also hands-on self-defense. One of the best things you can do to instill discipline and teach them for real-world experiences is train your boys and girls how to defend themselves. This is a story that just came out of California here. This is a interesting situation. This is a 13-year-old girl basically fights off this guy that tries to abduct her in California the other day.
You know how sad we have to do this?
No, I know. But they put her in jiu-jitsu, and they put her in taekwondo when she was 8 years old, about the perfect age to start. She's 13 years old.
She punched a guy, fought back, locked his head, kneed him multiple times, and spun him around and threw him to the ground.
Yeah.
I love this kid.
This is what Sensei talked about. And Blackburn, the Sensei, said he trains his students to prepare for real-world scenarios, not just earn belts or trophies. He's proud of her, did exactly what she was supposed to do. He said for the teen, her ability to react under pressure may have saved her life. She ran home and contacted law enforcement afterwards, and they basically were looking for the guy.
He limped home.
Yeah. She claimed that she basically cracked his ankle when she, I guess he was on the curb when she tried to take him down. And the thing about it is, now I don't recommend everybody go try and get on a fight as a 13-year-old girl. This guy probably, remember, you got to remember, a lot of these guys, when they try to go after somebody, they try to pick an easy target. And so they don't think there's going to be a lot of recourse. This girl's 13. She's walking back from school, and this guy basically jumps out from in between cars, tries to abduct her. And she basically knees him in the groin multiple times and spins him around. Now, granted, I have been in contact fighting with females before when we were training. And they there's some of them that are pretty good.
Well, no, you got to think about this guy. He's some weirdo, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he gets kneed in the groin.
He's a pedo.
Okay.
He's a pedo.
Okay. And first thing he thinks is, this is awful.
This girl.
I picked poorly. This is horrible.
What is it? The Last Crusade? Indiana Jones?
Chalices,
that one guy grabs that big cup.
The big gold cup.
Yeah.
He chose poorly. Oh, by the way, lab-grown meat banned in Texas as of September.
Oh, there we go. It's like seventh state now.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they don't want to poison everybody with this doggone tumor meat. As of September the 1st, the sale of lab-grown meat has been banned in Texas for 2 years as part of the Senate Bill 261. The law states that a person may not manufacture, process, even possess, distribute, or offer for sale, or sell cell-cultured protein. Yes. Although its production and use were not widespread in the state, some believe its ban violates people's constitutional rights to eat poison and to kill themselves with the meat they're eating. What consumers can and can't purchase. The Texas ban on cultivated meat is a classic example of special interest legislation. Now they're against this, by the way.
Oh, yeah, of
course. Paul Sherman, senior attorney at the Institute of Justice, told the Dallas Morning News, "The law has nothing to do with public health and safety and everything to do with protecting the powerful agricultural lobby." Yep, it does. From the innovative out-of-state competition. Yes, it does. And let's not forget the cattle industry. Cattle ranches were the most vocal supporters of the law, who saw the ban as a way to protect the industry. And they're absolutely 100% right. And you don't need to give poison to people. Now you're saying, "Well, you just said they can't drink Monster Energy drinks in England." This ain't the same thing. This is cancer meat.
This is literally cancer tumors. Tumor cancer meat. They're growing in stainless steel vats, and they put all this is how propagandized it is. Texas ban on this new technology is short-sighted and un-American. It's blocking jobs and innovation.
Well, that's what they have to do.
Wait a minute.
They've got to say this.
So the companies, by the way, that are producing this, they have submitted zero evidence that this stuff is safe in long-term usage for anyone, even animal testing. They haven't even tested it. Oh, we gave it to some rats, and they didn't die right when we gave them the lab-grown meat, so it's safe for humans. Really? Really?
Well, it's the same thing with GMO food.
It's cancer meat, dude.
We have pictures on the website of lab rats that are given basically GMO food that have tumors all over their bodies. The GMO should be banned, too.
Oh, yeah.
Anything toxic like this, that's why I said you can't ban caffeine because they're going to go get a cup of coffee. Right? But anything toxic that's going to be leading to the death of individuals and people. But again, remember, it's like I told Doug last night, these entities on the other side of the veil, they know that we're made in God's image. They can't stand us like that because they know they hate God. And so not only do they hate God, they want to be us because we have a soul. They can't be us, and now they're jealous. So not only do they hate you, they're jealous of you, and they want to destroy you. So let's give you some tumor meat to eat, boy.
Literally.
Well, what is wrong with you people? And see, these are the soy boys.
That's who's doing this.
Okay, these are the pencil necks. Oh, I can't see how I said that. These are the ones
they are.
They're the ones that are like, oh, I'm going to be a vegan. Blah blah blah. Well, okay, great. Why are you so unhealthy? Why are you so sick? Yeah, it's unbelievable. By the way, another topic about health: the pill that women are taking from everything from speeches to first dates. Women now are taking beta blockers as a process to basically control their brains from anxiety.
Beta blockers.
Yeah, man, we had that friend who had the beta blockers.
Yeah, why is she doing that for anxiety, though?
Because apparently it calms the heart down, slows the heart rate, and helps prevent anxiety. I'm not recommending this. This is a bad idea, by the way.
That's definitely off-box usage.
Take some magnesium. I mean, if you want to slow things down.
Yeah, you can also take the ashwagandha and cortisol booster.
Well, yeah.
That'll calm you way down.
Yeah, great.
And then also the total rest before bed.
That's great.
With the GABA.
Oh, yeah.
That's a great product. Yeah, but taking beta blockers for anxiety, I've never heard of that before.
I mean, wow.
Those things got some side effects.
And then here's the thing. Never mix beta blockers with alcohol.
No.
I mean, never. Okay, so pop me a beta blocker. Let me go out and get a glass of wine while I'm out.
Yeah.
Now you're like doing suicide on the installment plan. Read about beta blockers and alcohol. I posted articles on it before. It's bad. And we had a friend one time. He got all those beta blockers. He still continued to drink. I mean, he was shaking. His lips were blue. He was slurring his words. Remember that, Austin?
Yeah,
it was awful.
Most of that stuff anyways, you don't need to be ever mixing most medications with alcohol ever.
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 Especially beta blockers.
Especially, yeah.
But, I mean, going on a first date, you know, I always tell people if I go on a date, I say, I don't buy alcohol. You know, my mom had a problem with alcohol, number one. And number two, alcohol is just an elevator that has one way to go down. Increases the risk of pancreatic cancer, liver cancer, cirrhosis of the liver, alcoholism, osteoporosis, breast cancer. It just never stops.
Well, and the concept, too, and this is one thing, because I talked to my buddy about this in Tampa, and he was on the same page with you are with it, and he goes, here's the issue. He goes, if I'm going out with somebody for the first time, I want to actually know who they are. I don't want to go hang out with somebody that's had 4 or 5 drinks, and they're all giggly and bubbly and funny and laughing. All of a sudden, the next time I go out with them, they're sober and they're a nightmare to be around.
I'm going
to
tell them.
Which he said that. He said, you've dealt with that before. That's his take. I'm not in that world, but that's just.
I'm going to tell a quick dating story. I don't normally do this, but I'm going to do it.
Oh,
no, I'm going to do it. I had a girl who wanted to go out with me at 1:30 over in Tampa, so I left, and she calls me up and says, I'm here already. It's 12:30. Okay? I get there, and man, she's hammering the espresso martinis.
Caffeine and alcohol, baby.
Right there. When I get there. And she's got a whole table full of food. And I looked at her and I said, this is on you, not on me. And she got kind of piffy with me. And then she starts to get on her telephone. I order like a spanakopita, which is like $12, right? And I call the waitress over. And this girl keeps getting on her phone, which is unbelievably rude. And so I eat my spanakopita. I pay my $20 bill. I get up and said, you have fun with this. I'm out. I walked out on her. She said, you didn't really do that. Yeah, I did. Yeah, send me a letter. I don't care. I found out later. I went back to that restaurant a week later, and I said, what was her bill? $95 for lunch. She ran the bill. Alcohol, more, just unbelievable. And I said, I'm not paying for that. And so that's the problem. You get these girls and guys, they want to go on a date and start drinking. You don't even know who they are, Austin.
That's what I'm saying. I mean,
are their personalities that bad they've got to get drunk in order to talk? I mean, it's horrible.
That's what my buddy said in Tampa. He's like, you want to kind of get to know somebody, actually who they are, not after they've had 4 or 5 drinks.
Well, one of my friends who's an attorney, he said he went out with this girl here last year, and he said by the time they were done with the first 30 minutes, she'd ordered $100 worth of drinks. Okay, then she's got five sheets into the wind, and then she gets up and walks out. Bye.
Leave
him with $100
drink.
No, so Al, that's why if I go on, number one, I don't want to date anybody who drinks anyhow, but the point is, sometimes they kind of, they hoodwink you. I say, I don't buy alcohol. This is on you. You get a separate bill for this. Because I've learned something over the years. If you want to know somebody, you can't know them when they're drunk, Austin.
No. You can't. Some people change completely when they're drinking.
And they're always like, well, I got to loosen up so I can talk. And I'm like, well, this ain't going to work to start with. If you got to be drunk to talk, we're not going to play this game.
That's a horrible confession.
No, but now they want to take beta blockers and then get drunk. I mean, unbelievable. I'm sorry. I know this isn't the dating show. I got that.
Team Health Masters, guys, bringing you the highest quality supplements. If you guys need anything, you know where to get a hold of us. There's one other article I want to cover on here on liver support. Speaking of liver health, where was it at here? I got sidetracked on that. Oh, liver's vital role, the powerhouse of the metabolic health. This goes into detail in this article. I'll post on the website on why it's so important to make sure your liver is cleaned out, reduce inflammation, reduce fat the best you can if you're trying to lose body fat and burn body fat. The liver plays an enormous role in metabolic health and actually burning fat. You have to detox your body, and your command center, your metabolism is the liver. It regulates blood sugar, processing fat, storing essential nutrients. And so what happens is, if it's devoid of nutrients, if it's all scarred up with fat, it's having all these problems, it's going to be very difficult to regulate blood sugar, maintain insulin levels, and also burn fat overall. So this is one of the reasons why with the GHI Cleanse, one of the most popular products we have, why it's so popular is what it does in reducing inflammation in the liver and detoxifying the liver and cleaning it out. Because I always tell people this, and we've talked about this before, if you're really trying to get back in shape, you're trying to exercise, you're trying to burn body fat, you've got to get all your organs firing on all cylinders and reduce the inflammation in your stomach first. You can't sit there and expect your pancreas and your liver to work at top notch if it's completely inflamed and your gut's inflamed, your digestive system's inflamed, having all these stomach problems. You've got to get your body under control and reduce the inflammation first, and then you can start getting a fire on all cylinders, all 8 or 12, whichever how many you have.
Mercedes used to have a great V12 engine.
Twin turbo V12.
607 horsepower with 738 foot-pounds.
6.5 liter.
Yeah.
I think it's still in production.
Is it?
In some, yes.
That's an incredible engine.
Get your V12 working strong. But yes, I want to cover that on here. So if you guys need anything, you know where to get a hold of us, Team Health Masters, and be sure that magnesium brain food, that's the one to go for if you really want to get your body calmed down. That's not the brain food.
And my thanks to Victor for sending me that letter, and it was great.
That's actually a good letter.
It was a cornerstone of the show today. By the way, remember to keep your hearts and minds in Christ all the days of your life, for he is the author, he is the finisher, he is the perfecter of our faith, and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. For he basically built the universe, and it's through him all things are held together. And that's why when he was on the cross and he died, the entire planet started shaking with violent earthquakes, and I personally believe that God the Father had to step in and stop it, or the entire planet would have been destroyed. Just thought I'd say that. And when he was raised from the dead, that same power that raised him from the dead dwells in you right now. So you have tremendous power, tremendous ability all the days of your life as a Christian. So you can say no to the new world, or you can say no to all of this stuff. Because guess what? We all get to spend eternity with God. We all get to be with Jesus for all of eternity. So if we're here for 70, 80, 90, 100 years or whatever it is, it doesn't compare to the billions of years we're going to spend in heaven.
No, it doesn't. And one thing I got to thank you guys, too. A lot of you guys have been putting reviews down on the products. Thank you for that. I asked you for that. Keep knocking it out. This one was on the morning shake. It's an outstanding product. You want the most micronutrient product in both protein and powder. Acai powder, hands down, most superior on the market. I'm so grateful to live this life using these products daily. Thank you, Bradley, for that great review. A lot of people are putting those out there, and I appreciate that.
You know, I like that. I'm so grateful to live this life using these products. You know,
no, that was a really good
view. I love the way he said it. I love that because I'm so grateful the fact that we actually manufacture these such high quality products that I get to start my morning off with Purple
Feeling
Sticks,
good.
And I feel great, and I haven't got an elevated cortisol all day.
I couldn't imagine drinking coffee all day.
I used to do it. I have too.
I felt awful.
Wears me out. Wake up in the morning with massive headaches if you don't get your coffee. It was horrible.
Yeah, you can't talk to anybody until you get your coffee. You knock everybody out.
I remember one time I got up in Tallahassee and I had my coffee. I'm throwing went up in the sink.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, what the heck?
Caffeine withdrawal is high dose coffee and caffeine withdrawal is a very serious thing. So thank you guys for the support and the reviews. And keep knocking out reviews for me if you're on the website. I really appreciate those.
By the way, thank you for your support. As Austin just said, if it wasn't for you guys supporting us and being part of our 3%, I think we're up to 4% now. This is great.
It is.
People actually starting to support the show. Thank you. I love you. I appreciate you. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. Keep your hearts and minds in Christ all the days of your life. And we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Absolutely.